Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what matter of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for a few moments, and I won't be long, on the subject, Jesus, the most important person in history. You know, it's something to be famous, but fame doesn't last. You know, when I was a little boy, that Roy Rogers could go to New York City, and a lot of you don't know who Roy Rogers was. He was a movie star, cowboy. They would shut the city of New York City down and throw on the stage. Same thing with Gene Autry. And now, most of this generation, younger, don't even know who this. Fame is such a fleeting thing, such a fleeting thing. And I've known some people that were important at the moment, and it was fun to meet them. They're famous and they're rich and they got authority and they got power. I spent the day with Jerry Jones, that owns the Cowboys, one time, and his son Jerry Jr. gave me his phone number for his office. And so I was there for their training camp. And the next year, I didn't have anybody to go with. So I just dialed that number. And the secretary said, Jerry Jones's office. I said, ma'am, this is Dr. Steve Fender in San Antonio. I said, Jerry gave me this number and said if I ever need anything, to call him. I said, I need to get into the training camp down here to Alamo Dome tomorrow. She said, now, what was your name again? I said, Dr. Steve Fender. She said, there'll be a pass waiting for you there. So I went down there. I was on the field with Jerry. It was fun. But, like, I don't think I can get a ticket to this afternoon's game or nothing. It was kind of a fleeting moment, you know. And I used it to the best of my ability. And then I spent 4 hours with Donald Trump before he got elected. Now I'm a little apprehensive about that. I had my picture made with him. I spent 4 hours with him. And this week, the former mayor of New York City was found in court to owe $148 million because he's a friend of Donald's. And so I'm saying, that was Photoshop. That's not a real picture. And no, I never met Donald Trump. And I have a picture made with President Ronald Reagan, but I've never had my picture made with Hillary. And I'm surprised she hadn't called and wanted that yet, but hadn't happened. So I've known a few famous people and a few important people. But without question, and it does matter who you know. I've said that for years. When we were building the first church over here, there was no water on this side of the freeway, and we couldn't get a well permit. There was a guy standing there, and he owned a concrete factory in Seguin. He said, what are you trying to do? I said, I'm trying to get a permit, and we've been working on it for months to dig a well. He said, you got $100? I said, yeah. I reached my pocket, gave him $100. He said, I'll be back in an hour. He came back in an hour with a permit that we've been trying to get for months. He said, don't ask any questions. It does matter who you know. And when you die, it's going to matter most of all. Jesus said, I never knew you. The most important thing in your life is who you know. And the good news is, Most people in this building know Jesus. And Paul said, I'm known of God. Jesus was the most important person and is in history. This is not a self-imposed title because Jesus was not a braggart. When Jesus made his announcement concerning his identity or his ability, who he was and what he could do, it was not for self-aggrandizement. It was to prove that he could help the person that was standing in front of him, help them to believe so they could avail themselves to his supernatural power so that their pain or their problem would cease. That's the only reason why he identified himself. He was not bragging on who he was. He was there to answer their question that man has been asking since creation. Isn't there not a balm in Gilead? In other words, is there not an end to my suffering? Is there no help for my dilemma? Is there no help for my hurting? And finally the question, am I all alone on this planet? And Jesus would answer and say, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. If I didn't know Jesus and I wasn't convinced that he didn't know me, I would be fearful because things are kind of in a mess. But when you know Jesus, where are you? You're in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck you out. But the 10 most important people in history, now this is according to a survey. Survey says, these are the 10 most important people in history. Thomas Jefferson, Alexander the Great, Aristotle, Adolf Hitler. You don't have to be good just to be important. You just affected history. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, William Shakespeare, Muhammad, Napoleon. And number one, the survey said, Jesus is the most important person in history. Oh, just for your information, do we have any Justin Bieber fans here today? Justin Bieber is 8,633 most important. And I wouldn't know him right there on the edge of that platform. Fame is tricky. How does it compare with Jesus? The authors of this survey answer the question this way. The significance of Jesus is shown by his mind share. How many people think about him today, fully 2,000 years after his death? I'm old enough to remember when the Beatles first came to America, first came to the Ed Sullivan Show. Most of you don't remember. Ed Sullivan had a little variety show, and he'd stand there like this, and he'd say, now, four boys from England. I remember that night. I watched that night there. Four Beatles. And they said, after they became so popular, they said, we are more popular than Jesus Christ. Well, they did pretty good, but they're not more popular than Jesus. Jesus' name has been repeated on the lips of humanity more than any other name. Jesus has dominated the thought process of more human beings than any person that has ever lived. After 2,000 years of being gone, he has 2 billion followers on this planet. And once a year, he has the world's largest birthday party ever thrown. It's called Christmas. No one in history can even about compare or testify of that infinite existence that Jesus has. And Jesus, like I said, wasn't bragging. He was trying to establish in the people's mind who he was so he could help them. When they questioned him, when he said, before Abraham was, he said, he rejoiced to see my day. And when the Jews, you know why Jesus was crucified, don't you? Jesus was crucified for one reason. He claimed to be God. We don't do that anymore. I see people all the time on TV, they're claiming to be God, and then they die. But Jesus claimed to be God. That's the reason why he was crucified. They thought it was blasphemy that he would claim. And so the Jews particularly hated the fact that he made the claim to be God. And they would say, "Our father Abraham," and then they would quote something. And so Jesus quoted it right back to him and said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And when he said that, that just caused more confusion in their mind. And the Jews said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus had a difficult time explaining himself because people couldn't realize who he was, what he was, how powerful he was, and what he could do. They were shocked. They said, never a man spake like this. Who is he? Even the winds obey him. He testified of his immortality when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." In fact, he espoused seven I ams. He said, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the true vine." Who else could make statements like that? Only Jesus. What is history? Some historians have said that history is nothing more than a tale told by an idiot. It doesn't matter. What is history? It's just, I guess, paradoxical that history literally means, when you break it up, his story. I guess that's just a paradox. But it really is. That's what history is his story. It's his creation, his redemption, and his people. That's all history is. God is the goal of history. The New Testament writers add two very significant details to this history: that Christ is the promised Messiah, and there is none other except the Lord Jesus. And the other detail is, the kingdom of God will not be ultimately established until Christ returns the second time. And it will be established forever. And of his government there shall be no end. No matter how rich or how famous you become, after you're gone, your fame dwindles and people forget about who you are. But 2,000 years later, even the unbeliever has not forgotten who Christ is. They might curse him, they might denounce him, but they're still talking about him, because Jesus Christ is the most important figure in history. Almost a century ago, two famous essays were written about the life of Christ. One was called "One Solitary Life," and the other was called "The Incomparable Life." 2,000 years ago, a man was born contrary to the laws of life. Catholic Church has got that right. The Immaculate Conception. He was born supernaturally. He lived in poverty, was reared in obscurity. He was the child of a peasant woman, worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30 years old. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home, never wrote a book, never held a public office. He never went to college, never set foot in a major city, never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He possessed none of the traits that accompany greatness. He had no credentials but he himself. In his infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walked upon the billows as if he was walking on a sidewalk, and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his service. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to the enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed on a cross between two thieves, and while he was dying, the executioners gambled for his only piece of property he had on earth, his coat. And when he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed tomb. So 2,000 years have come and gone. This man born as an itinerant preacher to a peasant woman still rocks this world every day. 2,000 years have come and gone, and today he is still the centerpiece of the human race, the leader of the column of progress. He never wrote a book, yet no library could hold all the books that were written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet he has furnished the theme for more songs than all the other songwriters combined. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast of having as many students. He never marshaled an army, nor drafted a soldier, nor fired a gun, and yet no leader has ever had more volunteers who, under his orders, have made more rebels stack arms and surrender without a shot being fired. He never practiced psychiatry, but yet he has healed more broken hearts than all the doctors put together. How great is the influence of Jesus Christ, the most important man in history? All history is divided by his coming, B.C. and A.D. We call the year 2023 in honor of his birth. He's adored by saints and feared by devils. The name of great leaders long have been forgotten. The great men of Greece and Rome are dusty names in the library of time. Scientists and philosophers and kings and generals and theologians have come and gone, but the name of Jesus abounds more and more. Though time has spread 2,000 years between the people of this generation and the scene of his crucifixion, yet he still lives. Herod could not destroy him. The grave could not hold him. He stands alone on the highest pinnacle of the heavenly glory, proclaimed of God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, feared by devils, as the living personal Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, Savior of the world. Jesus is the most important figure that ever lived. This is the Christ of the Bible. This is the Jesus we worship. This is the true Christ of the Christian faith. This is the one in whom we have believed. He is our Lord and our Savior. This is the Christ of the Bible. Millions of Christians worship him in every nation. They worship him in India. They worship him in Osaka, Japan. They worship him in Sydney, Australia. They worship him in Brussels, Belgium. They worship him in New Guinea. They worship him in Pakistan, in San Jose. They worship him in Costa Rica, in Havana, Cuba. They worship him in Canada, in St. Petersburg, Russia. They worship him in Beijing, China. They worship him in Paraguay. They worship him in every city and village in America. They worship him. We worship him in San Antonio. He is the most important figure that ever lived. We celebrate his birthday each year at Christmas. If our greatest need had been education, God would have sent a teacher. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent a banker. If our greatest need had been advice, God would have sent a counselor. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent a Savior. His name is Jesus. He is Christ the Lord, the Son of God, who came from heaven to earth. Our greatest need is forgiveness. God's answer is wrapped up in a baby named Jesus, and not just any Jesus, but only the Lord Jesus Christ revealed in the New Testament. He alone is the Lord from heaven. He alone can save us. How silently the wonderful gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. The dear Christ enters in. That's why Jesus is the most important person in history. No one else could do what he has done. That's why his movement now encompasses more than 2 billion followers in this present day. If you're going to publish a truly accurate list of the most important people in history, Jesus has to be number one, and there would be no number two that would even come closely or compare to him. No one compares to him. In an interview with David Frost, the great evangelist Billy Graham, that has preached to more people in person than any human that has ever lived, was questioned about his faith in his dying day. And Billy Graham said this, "I now have only one goal. The last word I speak on my dying lips is Jesus. I can do no better." Jesus is the most important person in history. In John 6:66, the Bible said when Jesus lost favor with the political crowd and these disciples turned and followed him no more. And when Jesus saw him leaving by the thousands, he turned to his 12 disciples and said, "Will you also go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Ladies and gentlemen, I have lived 74 years on this planet. At 10 years of age, I made Christ my Savior. At 13 years of age, he baptized me with his Holy Spirit. At 16 years of age, I preached my first message and have been preaching the gospel literally to millions around the world. But there's not been a day that I have contemplated my decision. Was it the right decision? And I have watched important people come and go. And friend, I have come to this conclusion now, after 64 years of living for Christ, that it was the greatest decision I ever made. Because there is no one like the lowly baby in Bethlehem's manger. There is no one like the great Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is his story, whether it's yesterday, today, or forever, it's his story. And somehow he reached out and took me from the innumerable crowd of people that have crowded the universe and put me in his column, put me in his group, put his arm around me and said, "You're one of mine." So I can do nothing better but every day that I live to exalt his name and share with somebody. You know the most important person that ever lived? His name is Jesus. And he just told me he wants to meet you in person. How important are you that God would send his son to this earth? And the request that Christ would make is, "Steve, tell that person I want to meet them personally." Friend, it's something when you are summoned to the president of the bank's office, or the president of the universe, or the governor of the state, or the president of these United States. But it pales in comparison when the great God of the universe, robed in flesh, takes his knuckles and knocks on your human heart and said, "I'd like to talk to you if you've got time." Do you have time for the greatest person that ever lived? Do you have time for your Creator? Do you have time for your Savior? Do you have time for the King of Kings and the ruler of the universe? Do you have time for the one that wants to make all of your sins go away, to bind up all of your hurt, to take away all of your pain, dry all of your tears, cancel your reservation in hell, and make you a new reservation in the paradise called heaven? Do you have time for the most important person in the world? Ladies and gentlemen, the great mistake of the man that owned the hotel was that there was no room in the inn. And the greatest mistake that you and I can make is that we have no place for him. We have no time for him. I'm an old man now, but friend, I have learned this lesson. I always have room for Jesus, and I always have time for Jesus. Praise God. And I found out that if I'll make room, he comes. And if I make time, he calls. He has never forsaken me. He's been through my darkest valley. He stood with me on my highest mountaintop of victory. He has been with me when the crowd was there. He has been with me when I was friendless. He was with me in the strength of my youth and the weakness of my old age. He has been with me when I was healthy. He's been with me when I was sick. Not only that, he has been with me when I was cleansed by his holy blood and stood. But he was there when I fell from the place of grief and wallowed again like the prodigal in a pig pen. He's better than the father in the story of the prodigal, because that prodigal never left his house. But my king, the greatest person of the universe, left his house 2,000 years ago, and he came to my house, even though it was a wallowing place for pigs. And he said, "Steve, I wasn't sure you were going to make it out by yourself. I couldn't stay at the house waiting on you. I've come to get you personally." He picked me up out of the pig pen. He washed off the slop and the wallow of the pig. And he said, "Come to my house, for in my house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told." Oh, friend, he is the greatest person in history, and he's the greatest person in my life. And I've only got one little question. I posted yesterday, I think it was. I've been preaching all of these years, and that's all I am, folks, is a messenger. I'm not your judge. So I judge nobody and I condemn nobody. I'm a messenger. And so I don't come to you to sort out all of your past life. I just ask you one question. Have you accepted Jesus Christ? Don't you know that man, that prodigal, was glad when he got back home? But that prodigal was stronger than I am. I didn't have the strength to make it from the pig pen back to the Father's house. I just lay there, hopeless. And suddenly the man that knew no sin was right out of the pig pen, picking me up. I wanted to apologize for my sin, my filth, the stench, but he said, "There's no need of that. I took care of that in Gethsemane when I said, 'Let this cup pass from me.' I took care of it when I nailed the ordinances against you to the cross. There's no need. All you have to do is say, 'I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming, getting me, and rescuing me. And Jesus, by the way, I know what the richest people don't know, and I know what the most famous people don't know. I know you're the most important person in history. And I'm your son.'" Would you stand on your feet, please? And so I just ask you this question today. I don't ask you to talk about your drug habit, your alcohol addiction, your many flings. I don't want none of that. I just ask you, is there any room in the end? Is there any room in your heart? Do you have enough IQ to realize that it wasn't the Beatles, and it wasn't Elvis, and it's not the King of England, it's not Joe Biden, it wasn't Franklin Roosevelt or Abraham Lincoln? The greatest person that has ever lived and is still alive is Jesus. And history has proven it. I like what I said. You might not have gotten much out of it. I like what I said. His name has been spoken by more lips than any other name in the history of mankind. His personage has dominated more thought process than any human in human history. That's my Jesus. Hey, I thought it was something when Donald invited me to meet him at the Trump Tower. I found out that really wasn't much of an honor. It didn't turn out like I thought it was going to. But friend, when Jesus invited me as a 10-year-old boy to an altar in Murfreesboro, Illinois, and I went, I've never regretted that. He is what the Bible says he is. He stood the test of time. And history has proven that the Bible is true. And just one last thing, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of triumph. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we alive on the pews of Living Way shall be caught up. Oh, he is everything he said he was. Jesus never lied. And Jesus is saying, I love you now. And he's not lying to you. He really loves you. Becky's singing, I'm through. Is there anybody? You know, this is a tough crowd to preach to for a preacher. It's tough to preach to save people and you're a preacher, especially if you're an evangelistic preacher. Everybody's almost saved. It's a tough crowd. You give an altar call and they say, they didn't preach very good. Nobody came. That's because they're all saved. It wasn't my bad preaching. But the truth is, there's a few people in this audience that feel like you're still alone. If you feel like you're still alone, Christ doesn't have the place in your heart that he wants, because he'll never leave you alone. I'm through. If you sense in your life that you need Jesus to sort out a dilemma, to forgive a sin, to cure a problem, would you step out and let me pray with you right now? Whether you're a longtime saint of 20 years, or whether this is the first time you've been in a church in 20 years, it doesn't matter. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, don't ever say no to the Holy Spirit. Say yes, yes. And you say yes by coming forward. Becky.
No one ever cared.
I love this song right here. God's presence so strongly in this room. Friend, one thing I want to impress on you, if you come to Living Way irregularly, you don't come a lot. The people that are here can testify. This is not a house of condemnation. We're in this all together. I've got the same struggle you've got. It's to be more like Christ, to see him. So we're not putting down anybody. We're all in this together. But when you come, no matter if you come every time the doors are open or if you come once a year, when you come and you feel the Holy Spirit, always respond to the Holy Spirit, because he won't hurt you. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. You were condemned already. So respond to the voice of Jesus, because the voice of Jesus is always a voice of help. Always. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, my brother. I wish I could communicate better so I could tell you, show you how much God loves you. If you could imagine and see the love of Jesus for you, it's so much easier for us to love him back and become what he wants us to be. Lord, infuse him with your spirit. Baptize him with your glory. Lord, shape his life with the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we say. Hallelujah. I feel an amazing presence of Jesus in this room today. And I feel like Jesus is blessed. I feel like Jesus is saying, these people really do love me, and they do show up to celebrate my birthday, not once a year, but pretty regularly. Lord, we love you, and you are our Lord, and we are your people. And we have no question in our mind who the most important figure of history is. Jesus, it's you.